What's up, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Yankees, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. I'm an author of Baseball Prospectus. I run their local Yankee site, BP Bronx. And I've written for such places as ESPN, Sporting News, and the Hardball Times. As always, you can listen and follow for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, and you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. So today's episode is a positive one. We get to gush over a Yankees win that didn't look like it was going to be a win at first. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss J.A. Happ's performance last night. We'll discuss Luke Voit's heroics. Miguel Andujar was honored with something that Yankee rookies are used to getting lately. And in the final segment, we're going to talk about the brawl that happened in Seattle last night. And it wasn't a brawl that stemmed from, you know, a beanball war or something. This actually happened in their own clubhouse before last night's game. So first up, let's discuss last night's win, because it was pretty much a tale of two games in one. So the Yankees were looking to even the series with the A's and avoid having their wild card lead diminish even more. And for the first five innings, it looked as though the Yankees would be losing a 1-0 game, with their offense being stymied by a bunch of Oakland relievers. The A's had one of those bullpen games last night that's so trendy in baseball, although they do have a good reason for it. They're missing a couple guys in their rotation. And Liam Hendricks started the game. He came into it 0-1 with a 7.82 ERA, but he only threw 11 pitches, and then he was done. So the A's had eight pitchers appear in Tuesday night's game. So were the eight pitchers enough to contain the Yankees' offense? Nope, and I apologize for my really old reference, but I'm really old and I can't help myself. So the game was uneventful early, other than Stephen Piscotty hitting a home run and putting the A's up 1-0, which seemed insurmountable with the way the Yankees were having their at-bats last night. they were no hit through the first five innings, and the only two base runners they had reached on errors. So it really looked like it was going to be one of those games. And suddenly they woke up a bit. With two outs in the sixth inning, Gleyber Torres singled, but he was picked off to end the inning, which wasn't great. But at least they got the hit out of the way, and, you know, we wouldn't have to say the Yankees were no hit last night. So the seventh inning is when the Yankees offense finally woke up. Gardner hit a leadoff single, and the A's decided to bring in Familia to face Giancarlo Stanton, who hit a single. And then Andrew McCutchen walked to load the bases. And the Yankees finally got on the board and tied the game when Aaron Hicks walked to force in a run. Now, the Yankees had a really good chance to blow the game wide open because they had bases loaded, no outs, already had a run in, and they weren't able to take advantage at all. Miguel Andujar and Gary Sanchez both struck out, and then Neil Walker popped out in foul territory for the final out. You know how Oakland's foul territory is. It's about 5 miles wide on each side, so any pop-up that goes in that direction is going to be caught. So D-Rob came in the seventh inning with a runner on. and he walked Chris Davis, which, while not good, is better than giving up a home run to him because he already has 40 this year. And then he recorded 3 strikeouts and kept the game tied, and he was pumped up. I love D-Rob. I like when he shows emotion on the mound. It's pretty awesome. So Luke Voit, who I jokingly compare to Shane Spencer, took Fernando Rodney deep to start the 8th inning. I can't believe it either. This guy is incredible, but we'll talk about him later, because I'll get into that later. We're just recapping a little bit here. So then Torres and McCutchen walked, and Hicks hit an RBI single to put 2 more runs on the board. And no, 1 more, sorry. And it was 3-1 Yankees. So in the bottom of the 8th, they took Andujar out and put in Adani Hechavarria. I think that's how you say it. I heard Kay say it like 3 times, and for some reason my brain is not retaining the information. Anyway, in the 9th inning, after not allowing the A's any runs in the 8th inning, Hechavarria hit a home run. He's not known for hitting home runs, but he did, and it made the score 4-run. And then the Yankees hit 2 singles, had a walk, and then they had a 5-1 lead, which is how the game would end. Zach Britton and Dellin Betances both had clean innings, and Betances closed out the game again. So after his little meltdown against the Tigers, Betances has done a good job stepping up in Chapman's absence. So tonight's rubber game features Luis Severino against Mike Fiers. And it's another late start because, as you know, they're on the West Coast. I really don't like West Coast games. And it's kind of funny because I work from home, so I set my own hours so I can wake up whenever I want to. But I've always hated West Coast games, and it just doesn't feel right watching the end of a game at like 1:15 in the morning. Because, you know, last night, especially after the way the Yankees won, I was a little hyper and amped up, and I didn't get to sleep until maybe 2:30. It's just the West Coast games are unnatural. I think all West Coast games should start at 4 o'clock out there. I don't care about people who work. Let them take like a time off to go to the game. It's just, I can't. 10 o'clock starts are the worst. And because this is a midweek series, and, you know, Monday night would have been a 10 o'clock game if it wasn't Labor Day. So we would have had 3 10 o'clock starts in a row. Ugh. Anyway, enough about that. Next up, we will be discussing Miguel Andujar, Luke Voit. We'll have injury updates. But first, so in the last segment, I mentioned how late I was up. So this is why the podcast isn't coming out right away. So I apologize for how late it is. But again, they're not playing until 10 o'clock. So you have plenty of time to listen to this. You can listen to it on your commute home. You can listen to it when you get home. Maybe you have stuff to do in your office or something. Who knows? But again, I apologize that it's so late. But they're on the West Coast, so it's really 11:48. And not 1:48 as I'm recording this. So anyway, let's talk about Luke Voit. Because, as I said, he's basically this year's Shane Spencer. 20 years later, he's hit 7 home runs since August 24th. And that's the most in the majors. And 5 of his home runs have either tied games or, like last night, have been go-ahead home runs. on August 24th, he hit two home runs at Baltimore, which helped the Yankees sweep them. And he has homered in each of his past three games. Now, if you're Greg Bird, you definitely have to be worried. But seeing him in the dugout, you know, excited about Voit doing this is nice to see, because he knows he stinks. Voit is the hot bat right now. And, you know, I mean, Voit is playing himself into a playoff roster spot if they make it into the wild card game, and if they make it past the wild card game. But I love how excited Voit gets when he hits home runs. He's like a little kid playing Little League, rounding the bases with exuberance and, you know, pumping his fist and jumping up and down. And, you know, I know some people don't like that, but I love it. I think it's great. And it's given the Yankees such a boost, because they've been having issues lately. And again, without people like Judge and Gregorius out, although Sanchez hasn't really done much since he came back, so it's almost like he's not there. But the Yankees have been led by Voit, they've been led by Gleyber Torres, and they've been led by Miguel Andujar, who won Rookie of the Month for August. This isn't a surprise, because Andujar has been incredible. He's been great all season, but he's especially been incredible the past month. In August, he collected 29 RBIs. He hit 10 home runs, and he batted 320, 344, 623. And if you look at his numbers for the whole season, he's pretty much been the Yankees' most consistent player. His season numbers are his slash, 299, 333, 527, with 23 home runs and 76 RBIs in 127 games. So he basically has been carrying the team since Judge fractured his wrist. And since that happened, he's hit 11 home runs with 35 RBIs in 37 games, and his slash line is 310, 344, 593. Now, even better, Coley Harvey of ESPN, he covers the Yankees for them, he tweeted out that 8 of the last 13 AL Rookie of the Month awards have gone to Yankees. Aaron Judge has won 4, Andujar has won 2 so far this season, Gleyber Torres has won 1, and Gary Sanchez had won 1. So the Yankees have that whole really good rookie thing going for them. And if Andujar doesn't win Rookie of the Year, I'm going to be kind of annoyed. And I know he's going up against Shohei Ohtani, but Ohtani was out for a while Andujar, you know, came in and is just unbelievable. But then sometimes the people who vote for the awards, you know, they probably don't want two Yankees in a row to win it. So who knows what's going to happen. But he'll be way up there. If he doesn't win, he would probably be second. But I'll still be annoyed. And speaking of last year's Rookie of the Year, Judge took swings off a tee. He said he was feeling good. And he stood in the box while Tanaka threw his bullpen. So he was just standing there and watching the pitches go by as if he were at bat, just so he could track them, because, you know, he hasn't played in a while. And Didi Gregorius also did the same thing. Now, Judge is still going to be out who knows how long. They're thinking maybe 1 to 2 weeks he'll be back. But Gregorius will probably be activated against the Mariners this weekend. And in other Yankee news, Andrew McCutchen has been practicing out in left field. So maybe they're looking to spell Brett Gardner so he doesn't have to play all the time. You know, Gardner's up there in baseball years, 34. That's like, I don't know, 42 in regular people years. So that would be a good thing for Gardner. Although, he had a pretty good game last night. Didn't start off great. He had a really ugly strikeout against Hendricks to lead off the game. You know, he swung at a pitch that wasn't a strike at any point, and it was just ugly. And I thought that that's how the game was going to be, but thankfully it wasn't because I, yeah. Now let's talk about Hap. I forgot to talk about him. I was supposed to talk about him in the first segment. He looked so much better last night. And, you know, aside from the Piscotty home run, that was the only blip that he had. And he pitched 6 1/3 and only gave up 2 hits, the home run to Piscotty and a single to Matt Chapman. He also only walked a batter, one batter, and he struck out 5. So much better than the game against Detroit. And I'm just glad that the Yankees offense woke up and that they won. Now, Hap didn't win the game because the Yankees didn't score until D-Rob was in. So D-Rob picked up his 8th win of the season. Britton got a hold. On the other side, Familia blew a save, and Rodney lost the game. So that's it for that. Up next, we're going to talk about something that's I find highly amusing. I'm sure Mariner fans don't find it amusing, but I do. But first, I don't know if everyone heard about this, but the Mariners were involved in a brawl on Tuesday night. But it wasn't with their opponents. It was among themselves in the clubhouse. I was seeing tweets about it and was like, wait, what is happening there? So according to Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times, this is what happened. So the media stood near the doors of the clubhouse in Safeco, and they were waiting for a 3:20 media availability with Scott Service. And D. Gordon approached the gathered media, and Divish says he said quietly, or asked quietly, could you guys clear out of the clubhouse for just a few minutes, please? And according to Divish, after asking the media to leave, Gordon remained in that same spot. But then just a few minutes later, there was a sound of yelling, bodies moving, and commotion. And he says the once closed doors to the clubhouse crashed open, showing an altercation between 2 players and about 6 players, including Cameron Maben, Mike Zunino, and Nick Vincent, trying to break up the kerfuffle. And Robinson Cano and other players were trying to defuse the situation. And the reporters claim that the actual participants couldn't be seen in the mess of bodies. But the doors were shut again, and they could hear Gordon screaming obscenities. So it seems that this stemmed from a dropped fly ball in Monday night's game, which was actually a win over the Orioles 2-1. But apparently Gene Segura and D. Gordon were the two that got into the brouhaha. So the Mariners, you know, around June-ish, they look to be on their way to finally making the playoffs for the first time since 2001, when they won 116 games in the regular season. But they're in trouble because the A's have been incredible since mid-June. And the Mariners have lost 17 games in the standings to the A's since mid-June. And they're 5.5 games back for the second wild card spot. You know, at one point, Seattle was behind the Yankees, and now they're just falling off. And, you know, I can get the frustration because it's been so long since they've been in the playoffs. The Cubs have won in that time. The Red Sox snapped their long drought. The White Sox snapped their long drought. You know, the Marlins won again. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's happened since 2001. So Scott Servais said after the game, "Things happen in a clubhouse. Our guys are working through it and talking through it." He added, "It's unfortunate, but it happens." Then he said, "It happens a lot more than you know. Almost every year you see it. Sometimes it brings teams together." He said, "Things reach a boiling point, and you have to get it off your chest. With how our season has gone, the frustration mounts. Along the way, there are bumps in the road." Does this really happen all the time? Because I'm sure we would be hearing about more clubhouse brawls if that were the case. So I don't think that that's actually normal. Like, I can see teams getting fired up and having, like, team meetings and stuff like that, but I can't see teams, you know, other than like teams in the 70s, like, or the 86 Mets, or, you know, the mid 80s Mets who were all crazy, getting into something like this. And the kerfuffle that happened, that's my favorite word, by the way, didn't help anything because the Mariners lost to the Orioles last night, 5-3. And included in that loss, a botched rundown by D. Gordon, of all people. So, see, getting angry and mixing it up with your teammates doesn't help. In fact, it actually helped you to lose to the worst team in baseball. Yikes. So let's go around the league quickly. The Rockies won last night, which means they're still in first place in the NL West. The lead is a sliver, but they're still first. Arizona rebounded and beat the Padres 6-0. The Dodgers beat the Mets 11-4. I could swear that I saw the Mets were up 4-0. So if they if there were 11 unanswered runs in that game, I'll never stop laughing. Jason Vargas picked up the loss. Oh, okay, that would be why. As I said, Baltimore beat Seattle. Alex Cobb won the game for Baltimore, and old friend Adam Warren actually picked up the loss for Seattle. Cleveland recovered from their loss to Kansas City by beating them 9-3. Danny Duffy started for the Royals and was taken out due to an injury. Tampa beat Toronto. Now, don't look now, but Tampa is 7 games behind the A's for the second wild card spot. Now, wouldn't that be something? I really don't want that to happen, though, because the Yankees have had trouble against Tampa this year. And I really don't want to see them in a one game takes it all game against the Yankees. But, you know, for a team that was giving up this season, they've been doing really well. And that whole using an opener and having bullpen games has also actually worked for them. So much for making fun of that, huh? In Miami, Jake Arrieta and the Phillies beat the Marlins 9-4. Boston beat Atlanta because they never lose. Texas beat the Angels 4-2. Shohei Ohtani had a home run, but it wasn't enough to help them beat Texas. Detroit beat The White Sox 8-3, Milwaukee stomped all over the Cubs 11-1, and apparently it was really ugly, at least from what I could tell on Twitter, because I follow a lot of Cub fans for some reason, and they were just not happy last night. It wasn't good. Wade Miley picked up the win for Milwaukee. Justin Verlander won again last night. Houston beat Minnesota 5-2. Pittsburgh beat Cincinnati 7-3. And finally, St. Louis beat Washington 11-8. Tyson Ross picked up the win. So that's it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Stacey Gotsoulias, and you can follow me on Twitter at StaceGots, StaceGots. And once again, you can email us questions at LockedOnNYY@gmail.com or tweet us at LockedOnYankees. And again, you can rate the podcast on Apple and on Google, and please spread the word about this podcast. I'd like to build up a bit of an audience. Have a good Wednesday, and I am hoping that tomorrow's episode will be all about the Yankees winning 2 out of 3 against Oakland and Luis Severino looking like the ace that he should be. Have a good day.